Hello and welcome to Confessions of a DPO. I am your host, Olga Nielsen, and I have a surprise for you today. I have our guest from the second episode, Kalle, from Finland, if you all remember. He is co-hosting with me today. Kalle, hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you? Yeah, I'm well. I'm very excited to co-host this episode with you and with our special guest that I will let you announce in a second. Let's go.
Yeah, I told you that we had to find somebody from Norway to discuss this special case, Telenor case. But before that, let's announce our special guest, John. Hello, how are you? Welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Very nice to be here.
I am very, very happy that you could join us today. Tell us, John, about yourself and tell us about why a data protection officer.
Well, that goes way back. We're working with information security and privacy since last century. Been a bit as a developer, DBA, back in the old days with Oracle and SQL Server, long before cloud.
Okay.
You see how that done. but why a DPO? Well, actually, before GDPR,
yes,
you were less likely to be object in inspection from the DPA if you had a DPO. So I didn't want to become, or I didn't want my organizations to have a DPO before the GDPR.
Okay.
Because I felt that was the best privacy. If you had a fear of the DPA knocking on your door, but then we got GDPR, where public authorities were obligated to have a DPO. So then it was to go for election, run for DPO. So I've been a DPO since early 2018.
And what was about this role that you thought, okay, this should be my role in the organization? Why is that? Is it the law? Is it the...
No, it's the combination.
The combination,
Of the technology, legislation, and everything. I think it's important to have understanding for both technology and legislation if you shall succeed as a DPO. I just love working with the privacy and security and everything between.
I can definitely relate to that, and I could feel that from the first time we've talked. So that is the most, let's say, when you meet passionate people in this field, it's the most enjoyable conversations. So thank you so much for that. So you've been a DPO for some times now. So you have a lot of experience and a lot to share with us. Tell us, confess, what do you think that is the most fun in your role?
I love talking about the subject. Teaching courses, doing speeches at conferences, I just love it. When you can talk to people about what is this boring stuff. To most people, it is actually boring. to try to make it interesting, when people are telling me that, oh no, this is not a GDPR, it's anonymous. What is it? I usually ask, referring to an old neighbor of mine, well, actually, he wasn't that old, a Rottweiler dog, young man, in his best age, about 1 year or so. When I came walking home from the bus, he used to talk to me. And you know the difference with a Rottweiler, if he talks or if he barks. So when I came walking, not talking on the phone, not singing, just walking quietly from the bus to my place, he started talking to me. So that tells me we are identical. You can identify me without seeing me.
Okay.
Hopefully without smelling me.
yes.
So it's not that easy to say, oh, no, this is anonymous. I don't think it is. Referring to Hexagon, who used to talk to me every time I walked home.
Okay.
His mood now. I think the reason why he likes me was we have an old dog, female dog. So, and this was, Hexagon was a young man, you know. So,
yes.
I think it might not have been me he was interested in. It was probably our dog. But still, he could identify me when I came walking. So using that kind of examples, I think it's important to show people privacy is actually very funny.
Yeah, and it's down to earth. And it's our everyday life. So, it shouldn't be, I don't know if you've seen the many conversations that there are on LinkedIn right now regarding the new proposal for some changes of GDPR that they are totally, I don't know how to call them, but not really make sense in my book. Kalle, what do you think?
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. I think some of the changes that are being proposed, I'm not sure they will, you know, fulfill that goal that they are trying to, you know, go at in the EU with these changes. Sure, I understand with some of the small businesses they have some trouble and so on, but I mean privacy is not only for the big businesses and the government. I think it should be respected by all. And I really like the way that John brings it down in a kind of privacy, that it happens in the smallest moments of life, all the way to the big corporations and governments. And
exactly.
From this, I kind of want to ask John, because Olga asked, what is the best thing about privacy, or and then what was the worst part about privacy for you? Is that something have you ever thought of? It seems like you really enjoy privacy, but is there something that you wish you could change, like the people in the EU want to change GDPR?
I would like to turn off the cameras on Teslas.
Okay.
You can't walk any street without ending up in somebody's USB disk. I really don't like that part. Nobody seems to care about the privacy when you walk the streets. But the changes in GDPR that they're talking about, I don't see how you can manage privacy without the inventory.
Exactly.
They've got in Article 30.
Definitely true.
I just don't see how can you inform people what you're doing if you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all. I was just, on top of my head, I was just thinking, so let's remove that part. But then what? I mean, if you have a data subject request, then what can you answer if you don't know what you're doing with your data? I mean, just thinking of, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, they want to make the changes just to make the changes for fun. If they really want to do something, they really need to think what it is that needs to be done for the small enterprises, you know, try to help them in another way, but not making changes that they really don't make sense. I mean, the inventory is like the first step. You need to have the proper overview of what it is that you do with your data. It just doesn't make sense at all. But we shall see. I haven't actually heard anything about any changes regarding the DPO role. I have not seen any discussions on that on LinkedIn at all, or from the authorities. They were most focusing on the companies, the small medium sized enterprises, right? But not on the DPO role. Any of you have heard anything?
No.
Well, I think a lot. Maybe they could take a look at the report from the ADPP from January 2024, and they can see that they still need to improve somehow with the role of the DPO. So probably now with the changes they want to make, they should probably take a look at that as well. Who knows? John, can you remember in the beginning when you said yes to the role of a DPO? What was it that you were looking very much forward to, and maybe you were something that you were afraid of in that sense, because it was still very new? Do you remember?
I was looking forward to the focus on privacy. When I started doing privacy a long time ago, it was like, oh, it's okay if you work a bit with that stuff, as long as you don't bring it up to the top management. I mean, it should be far down in the organization so that you didn't bother anybody. So when you had a GDPR and you could say, wow, this is really important. It is a top management responsibility. Finally, it was possible to bring it to the top of the organization.
Well, what I at least experience right now is quite nice to see that the management is involved. Very much, though. So we see the changes within the 7 years that we've just celebrated with GDPR. That management gets it now. Probably still some issues regarding the budget, regarding the staffing, regarding this and that. But still, they do understand now. This totally different than it was in 2018. I must say. Also before that, during the implementation period, that was also a struggle. But I think that the newcomers somehow have inherited this role with a lot of changes that many of us who worked for many years, they've tried to improve the role or to implement it in the organization as it should be. I don't know how you feel about that, John. Is your management now maybe is too direct, but is the management now, you think, in general, more likely to hear about the DPO report and what needs to be said in that?
Yeah, my experience is it's okay for the top management to get the information, and still it is okay for me as a DPO if the top management says, "Well, that's your advice. We do otherwise." Okay. Top management has a lot of things to consider.
Yes.
Economy and all of these things that I, as a DPO, don't care about. Well, do care about economy and all of that. But the advice should not care about the economy. Mm. That's up to top management.
Exactly.
And the risk.
Very well said.
The treatment there.
Yes. What if John is a just newcomer in this field, right? Let's assume that they do what they think. It's of course important to present to the management, and they don't take. Of course, they understand the advice, but they don't follow the advice. What should a newcomer do in that situation? How they should be prepared for such a thing? Because for some new people in this area, they can get a bit scared. Okay, what should I do then? I've done my job. They don't want to follow my advice because, I don't know, of some sort of, as you said, the risk appetite probably is higher than the DPO expected. What should a DPO do in that situation? What will you advise?
My advice is to document the advice given to the top management. Always give the advice in written so you get the copy.
Yes.
And hopefully, if you got a breach or something, hopefully the DPA will ask, did you get any advice from the DPO?
Yes.
And then you got the documentation that, yes, top management got the advice, but did something else. It's not my responsibility as a DPO to have the privacy in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's top management responsibility.
Yes.
So our responsibility is just to make sure the top management are aware of the issues.
Agreed.
And it's up to top management to handle.
Yes.
So if you're young, you feel might feel, oh, well, it's my responsibility. No, it's not. You can go home, you can sleep well, and all of that. It's not your responsibility.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, are there any emerging risks or things that you have kind of maybe said out loud that they still keep you up at night, or... is that your mentality that you should, you know, also be telling the newcomers that as long as you document it, you tell it forward to the top management, and then you go and sleep well? Or, or is there anything that might, you know, is kind of in the back of your head?
Well, not that bothers me. More like, oh, this is fun. Oh, great. But of course, to newcomers, don't be too religious. If you're too religious, nobody wants to speak to you, and you won't get that involvement.
Mm.
So I usually say to people when I teach classes and so I that I practice dementia, and people are. Wonder what is he talking about?
Let us know. Well, what is that?
I think what is my main goal? My target is as good privacy as possible. If people, they are coming to me with a problem, if they're not afraid, that will lead to better privacy over time. So therefore, if people don't ask me in written, I usually tell them, well, when we finish this conversation, I'll forget what we've been talking about. If you actually want me to do something about it, yes, I can. But don't be afraid of bringing some issues to me.
Mm.
And then I think in the end, we'll get a better privacy.
Yes.
That's great advice, actually. I would say, as a newcomer, I wish somebody told me this 7 years ago. Because I think the first 2 years I was very religious and trying to kind of, you know, cover all bases. But then I realized I'm like, oh well, I'm actually not responsible for this, but somebody else is, yeah. You know. But yeah, that's good advice, I think.
It's very good advice also, because I mean, we, of course, in the beginning, I can speak for myself, took a lot of responsibility, even if it was not my responsibility, but I think somehow it was expected. So also we've seen this shift in the management mentality of what is the role of the DPO. And basically, yes, we are not responsible in the sense of having everything all together in the company. We are there to advise, we are there to help as much as we can, and to point out the difficulties that can lead to a data breach, for instance. That's why we are there, but at the beginning, a lot of responsibility was on our shoulder, from implementing GDPR to make it run in the organization. Those were the hard times, I think. But they were fun as well, until but many nights not sleeping. that was the time. Cool. So what do you think, John, your role is in the organization when, let's say, there is a breach? Let's get a bit operational in that sense. What it is, or maybe what it should be in a breach?
Well, I'm lucky. I'm really included in the breaches. I'm a part of the task force, but when we got any breaches, and they really listen to my advice. Some of the fun part. Actually, we don't want any breaches, but when it happens, it's kind of action. Yeah. Kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Of course, it is. For us, it is. For the company, not so much. But I always think that with a breach, it's actually quite important, because it identifies the issues that needs to be fixed. Otherwise, and I'm. If I'm somewhere advising in a company and I ask, well, how many breaches did you have last year? And they say none, then there is a red flag. So, yes, I think breaches can be a blessing. And the adrenaline running also with the DPOs, it's incomparable, I think. So you get involved from the beginning, and what about afterwards? So the action plans, the things that must be fixed. How is your role there? Will you still be advising? Will you still be much more operational? How do you do it?
Yes, I'm part of the. The chain of actions all the way, every time I'm the one giving the advice. Is this something to be reported to DPA or not? And I like that part, because if I say no, this is not necessarily something to report to the DPA, I'm more sure of that than if the top management should decide on their own. Because I don't have to think about what about economy and all of this. But there is a lot of cases when you don't have to report to the DPA, and then it's better than I say, no, we don't have to report it, but yes, definitely, we have to fix it. Mm. But we don't have to report to the DPA. And also, it is, in most cases, me telling, well, the clock is ticking. And that's the hard part when you've got a breach, just to get it within the 72 hours. And I'm speaking a lot about 24 hours with NIS2.
Yeah,
I can manage. I mean, 24 hours is not much.
Nope.
And we got if you got a breach down the supply chain.
Yeah.
It's still 24 hours from. You know, they become aware of it down the chain.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have to get some new data processing agreements with most suppliers.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we won't manage to report within 24 hours.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. It also says for I mean the internal process really must be tested, I guess, to be sure that it's working. The task force, as you mentioned, John, is it the one the real task force that can help in this situation? So identify the key people within the organization in but. Let me ask you something now. This is a confession, right? So what if you advise the management that this is a breach that has to be notified, and the management says no? What should a newcomer, just started as a DPO, first breach in a situation like this? The DPO says, yes, you should notify, and the management says, nope, I will not.
It's back to what I said earlier. Mm. Document your advice, give it in written. I always give my advice in our service management system where we got all the incidents. I write. Just a couple of sentences. Mm. This is the DPO's opinion. This is something we should or should not report to the DPA. So it's in written. And luckily enough, top management has followed my advices in all of our breaches. That's maybe one of the parts where yes, I'm responsible for that advice. If I say no, and it should have been reported, well, then it goes back to me. But I think I can live with that. Yes, okay.
But John, is it then safe to say that as long as the DPO documents the advices, whether it's within a breach situation or is during the report of some sort of, I don't know, case, complaint or something that from a data subject or in a DPR situation, right? Let's say that the company is developing something which shows through the DPR that it's actually a high risk. What they are developing. So as soon or as long as the DPO documents the advising, that should be okay for the newcomers. They can sleep well, as you said.
That's my opinion. Yeah.
Cool. So
you're not paid to handle the responsibility.
So let's get to. Let's get to the case. Who would like to start? Let's have a few words on what this case is about, and let's discuss it. What do you think? So the Telenor case in Norway. This came when it was March or something this year, right?
Yeah, it took a while.
Okay.
It was one of those cases that didn't come through within a couple of weeks. It took a couple of years.
Okay.
Where the DPA received an anonymous tip.
Interesting.
Inspection into Telenor ASA, one of the companies in the Telenor group.
Yes.
About the compliance with the DPO and the requirements. Actually, I'm a bit shocked about the case. As a DPO, I say hallelujah. yes, but it's. If we've seen some of the other DPO roles advertised through the years in Norway, at least, it's been, oh, well, we want a DPO who can do so and so, and also you are responsible for all the meetings, the canteen. About 3% and where is the where do you have the competence of being a DPO in the combined roles? But then in the Telenor case, then they really had a big case. Before this case, we had a Grindr case in Norway.
Yeah, which,
finally, the big fine, advanced notification for 100 millions, where Grindr had sold or leaked personal data about their users. So when Telenor case was coming with a advanced notification, it was 99 millions in Norway. And I think, well, yes, I think I've got the most important role in the world, the DPO, but not that important, like the Grindr case. Well, it went from 99 down to 4 million in the fines, but it was basically only a few points of the DPO. It was the Article 37, number 7, about published contact details for the DPO. How much contact details do you want? You had Article 38, number 2, about providing resources to carry out tasks and maintain your knowledge. Well, back to the other cases I referred to, it doesn't make sense, if you ask me. You got Article 38, number 3, about not receiving instructions. The biggest problem, I think, was that they couldn't find the directly report lines to the highest management level. I can agree that that is really something to.
So that will be directly just for the newcomers also to understand. So the directly management, that will be the CEO of the company or the board of directors, right? There should not be somebody in between, like a head of legal or head of risk or head of somebody else.
No, top management is top management.
Yes.
And that's also, if you look to NIS2, where they point the finger at the CEO level.
So if this, let's say the DPO reports to head of risk or head of something else legal, but the head of legal reports to the CEO or board of directors, that is not enough.
No, that's not compliant.
That is not compliant. And this is what we can also learn from from this case, right? And also other cases that we've seen in 2020, 2021 within the EU. It's important that, Kalle, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. And I'm just, you know, looking at my notes, cheating here a little bit. I look at my notes about the Telenor case.
Nobody like, can see that. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, what really baffles me, like, about the case in general is not just Telenor, it's many other companies, but like, and no direct or and documented reporting line for the DPO to the highest level of management. And that Telenor had denied access to the company's senior management for over a year, which is just making the DPO as a, I don't know, some guy we, or, you know, some woman we pay just to sit here and do nothing, basically, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the point of the GDPR. That's not point of privacy.
No.
And that's not how you do, you know, sustainable business, in my opinion. And but yeah, I think it's, yeah, for, as you said, for newcomers, if you're not reporting directly to do like the kind of the C-suite, then there's something wrong.
But it's definitely also a difficult position to be in, right? Because you want your job. I mean, you got your job, and then I mean, how can you say, hey, you're just the head of legal, I need to report to the CEO? And some of us do, others of us like me get really pissed and then quit their jobs and move on and more than that. But not is to be expected that everybody should do that. I mean, what can a newcomer do? I mean, it's a very difficult situation to be in, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, like, I mean, if you're a good head of legal, you would understand what the GDPR says. But then, you know, it could also be that their hands are tied, you know,
exactly,
by the CSUs, that, you know, the head of legal, they want to have, you know, they don't want to be reported to, and they understand the GDPR, but they also can't do anything about it. But then, it's, I mean, not everybody has the privilege of moving on. And it's very hard to kind of, you know, I mean, in Finnish you say battling windmills, that you kind of box against windmills, and this is what kind of it is, because you know, you will always lose, and it's not a fun fight. But maybe John, would you have any advice for newcomers that might be in this position where they don't have the direct reporting line, and they are kind of, in a sense, being denied access to senior management? How would they slowly kind of chip away at the structures of the company, and then maybe one day, you know, talk sense into these people and like, hey, I want to report to you guys because it's in your interest and it's in my interest. And then, you know, how would you, do you have any advice?
Yeah. Might start by how to report. It's not necessarily meeting in the every month in with top management and saying, we have to think about privacy. I mean, you could do it like sending mail directly to top management, and then starting your mail with regarding to GDPR Article 38 Number 3. I'm supposed to report directly to the highest management level, therefore this is blah 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 blah. I mean, you can't get into trouble by sending information if you start your information with "this is why you receive this."
But also, you know, I mean, what can a person do if, let's say, the CEO or board of directors, they don't want to receive either email or reporting or anything else? They, as Kalle said, well, they're just the person, he or she are hired there just because, you know, to look nice on the reporting that we do have a DPO. And I've seen that a lot. So it's not, but at sometimes, I think the top management, they need to understand basically the role, and they will, with these two, John, as you said, it will change the situation a lot, I guess. So in terms of still discussing this now in 2025, the insufficient resources, there were also, if I'm not mistaken, a part of this case as well. What do you think about that? Is it still an issue? The report also from the ADPB in 2024 also this said something about that. Is it still an issue? And what will be the sufficient resources for a DPO? Is it for the budget for the training of the person, the budget for external consultants, for internal people? What will be sufficient then? Oof. Have you thought about that?
No, I think it's hard to think about a number of a percentage. Mm-hmm. It depends. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to do what you're supposed to do according mm-hmm. to Article 39, I think. If you haven't got the time to do mm-hmm. all you're supposed to do, you got not enough resources when it comes to mm-hmm. to the staff. But the resources relating to maintaining competence and knowledge, that's a hard one. I think it's important to make sure you always get some new knowledge, if that's through courses, through networking, through whatever. But you are obligated to maintain your knowledge.
Yeah, that's true. I totally agree. We are obligated, but well, I mean, it's also, even if it's not this obligation part, if we don't look at it, I mean, what can a DPO do without any ongoing training, ongoing networking, ongoing? It's just impossible to keep up. If we just think, okay, I've done my courses like 7 years ago, who cares? I'm in still the same company. The same things happen, nothing new, then why should I do that? Then, of course, the obligation part, it's important here. But other than that, I mean, how can you be a DPO informing the management of what is going on, what the compliance issues that may occur if you don't know actually what's going on around you? Probably, I thought about this, the insufficient resources part. I was thinking maybe it could be in terms of, I mean, if you as a DPO are not able to perform your tasks because then you do something else, then at some point you need to inform your management, the top management, that you are not able to report, you are not able to do your tasks as a DPO because you're doing something else. And that's why then probably the resources are important to point out, I need some help, right?
Mm.
So, yeah. Anything else that you would like to say regarding this case? Do you think it will have some impact somehow for in Norway maybe, or in Nordics, or what do you think?
Mostly it's a case that we as DPOs can use if we don't get the position, all we need to do our job, we can refer to the case. But to be honest, I don't think it'll make any changes.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, that's true. We've seen also in cases with a conflict of interest and such. I mean, they are still out there. And who is reporting basically that there is a conflict of interest, right? So you do report on many, many things in the reporting from the DPO, from a compliance perspective. But honestly, I've not seen any report saying that the DPO is performing the task as DPO, although it's also a conflict of interest. And in this situation, I've never seen a report like that. So if you please let me know. But I mean, there are not quite those type of controls set up in an organization. There are, of course, a lot of controls from many aspects, but not whether the DPO is lacking resources, or it's a conflict of interest situation, or not reporting to the management. I think those types of controls are not quite seen in the reportings that they are available, which is definitely not good. Maybe we should have a focus on that as well. And relate to this case, maybe use it like that. I don't know. But yeah, anything else that you would like to say regarding this, or anything else that you would like to confess?
I would like to confess, yeah. Nothing comes to my mind right now.
Could I ask something?
Yeah. I've got one thing I'm thinking about these days. It's all of the things coming from the EU. I like to go, hallelujah, I still say about this too. You got AI Act, and you got a lot of others, which I'm afraid will lead to fatigue. I'm sorry to say, but I think we have to prioritize which of these legislations do we care about, because otherwise top management won't bother about anything. And I think in this two is one of the best because of the Article 32, number 5, which puts the responsibility at the CEO level. I think that's one of the things we should prioritize, and the AI Act, which is, after what I've heard, even bigger than the GDPR, but it might not be the DPO's responsibility.
Well, that's definitely something to discuss, maybe, Gale, in the next episode, because it's definitely it's a big issue, how involved the DPO should be in with the new legislation. I think what I've seen so far, and of course my opinion is that you will be as involved as you want. I think it's also different from a DPO to another, from organization to another, what is asked to advise from a DPO. But I think you need a strong compliance organization as well. So that can take that the questions regarding the new legislation, and of course DPO to be involved as much as possible, as the DPO should always be in different projects, as the law also states that the DPO should be involved. But whether the DPO should be the one responsible advising on AI Act, advising on IS2, on DORA, and so on, I don't quite see it. I think it will be from you need to know, of course, as a DPO. But my opinion, I think you should probably stick to GDPR and see whether this has an impact. The processing of personal data in the other laws, but that would be my approach, definitely, because otherwise you cannot protect this role if you are all over the place. It's just, as you said, John, it's quite a lot, so the help is necessary there, for sure. Kalle, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking that what I've seen recently is a lot of DPOs getting the, you know, AI governance role in somewhat, not per se, like actually doing the work, but kind of in a similar role that, you know, with the GDPR, you have DPO. There's a lot of AI DPOs that are, you know, are kind of monitoring the use of personal data within AI, and then they get this new title and so on. But then they also get involved with the EU, you know, the AI Act, and so I think in that sense, that could also maybe combat the fatigue that John mentioned, that when you kind of already integrate this new legislation into existing processes within the company and telling the management, okay, this is a very, very big new legislation. Why not integrate it into the existing processes that are with the GDPR? Maybe that this is how you also get more resources for your for your team in privacy and so on. Sure, you get you know, more stuff to do, but you also get more resources, and you kind of then upsell to management, hey, we can handle all of this, but only if you give us a new person to work with us, and so on and so on. And and that kind of maybe next question I would have like to ask John is that have you ever kind of had to explain yourself to top management to, like, hey, I want a new hire, or I want a bit of money to use on a consultant, or I need this to buy this kind of management system in order to do my job? And if not, how would you advise people kind of, you know, to get that investment from top management to do your DPO job even better?
Well, I haven't been in that situation yet, but I would still like to recommend referring to the obligations in the GDPR, enough resources to blah, 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 blah.
And then we'll see if that will work. My experience, at least, is not working all the time, but I think what is working, and unfortunately the reality is that probably you need a breach or something that that shows well, that is because of lack of resources, lack of tools, or whatever it is, to keep better track of our compliance, to understand or to mitigate the risks, and so on and so forth. So unfortunately, I think that is the reality that I've seen. It needs a big case for the management to say, okay, we should probably have taken care of that before, but this is the situation now, and let's see how we fix it. And suddenly there is a budget.
You had a colleague a couple of episodes ago. I met him a couple of times in Denmark. Ben.
Yes.
He's good at getting the resources.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, maybe we should ask him to come on again and tell us exactly his way of getting the resources. Cool, but we can talk about this for hours and hours, and I'm afraid that this is our episode for now. I would like to thank you both for joining, and I hope our listeners really enjoyed this episode, because it was very inspiring and very enlightening, and hopefully also the newcomers feel that this is actually possible. If you document your stuff, it is possible. So as John said, to sleep well at night, then document your stuff. So thank you all for joining me today. Until next time, keep listening and keep helping me grow this podcast, so we can have more confessions and more focus on this role. Until next time, I wish you all the best and keep safe.